Okay, there we go. So, we are on the theme of Thanksgiving. This is the year of Thanksgiving, and this is the year of the harvest. Amen? That's what we are about. And so, I'm going to focus on Thanksgiving this morning, because if I ask the question, what is Thanksgiving? You will have various answers for Thanksgiving. You might say, yeah, it's giving thanks. But I just want to put that into context. Why? Because I want to show you the blessing that comes through giving. The blessing that comes through giving. And I want us to help. I want to help you to unlock some of the biblical principles that will take us out of a poverty mentality or a poverty mindset to that of knowing and experiencing the more than enough God. Amen? Because God is the more than enough God. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think. That's what God can do. So I want to unlock some principles this morning. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, this morning, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come together like this, that we can sit at your feet, that we can enjoy your presence, Father, in the freedom that we have. And Father, as we focus in on your word this morning, Holy Spirit, we open our minds to you. We open our hearts to you. And we ask that you will speak into our lives. Give us a word that we can carry in our spirit that will enlighten us, O God, and cause us to walk with you on this journey of faith. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I have the translation in Sinhalese. So, if Bob has a copies at the back in the Sinhalese language, you can have a look at the sermon that I have in the Sinhalese language as well. Is that good? Who likes to read Sinhalese here? Okay. Ask some of the ladies. They'll teach you. So, my text for this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and verses 6 to 13. Now, I'm reading from the Living Bible. I like this translation because it's quite easy to understand. So, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 13, I'm sure it should come up shortly, I'm sure, somehow, amazingly. It's there. Look, amazingly. It says this, but remember this. If you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to. For cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. Cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. I like that. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? God is able to make it up to you by giving you some things. Is that what he says? Everything you, tell your neighbor, did you hear that? It's just everything you need and more, wow. So that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over, say left over, to give joyfully to others. The smile on your face. It is as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor, his good deeds will be an honor to him forever. Verse 10, for God who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you so much more that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. When we take up our tithes and our offerings, that's what we do. We take these gifts and when we give it, when we break it out to people, when we give to ministers, when we give to people who need our gifts, what happens? They break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. Hallelujah. So two good things happen as a result of your gifts. Those in need are helped and they overflow with thanks to God. Those who you help will be glad not only because of your generous gifts to themselves and to others, but they will praise God for his proof that that your deeds are as good as your doctrine. In other words, what you say is what you are doing. Is what you're doing, is what you're saying, what you're doing. That's what it means. And so I just want us to hold that as I share some of that scripture with you this morning. I know it's quite a chunky passage of scripture, but I couldn't cut it out. I had to read the whole thing because it comes in one package. And so the first point is this. It says there in the Word of God, if you give little, you will get little. And it says a farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Now this is a principle, an amazing principle in God's economy. We got to catch this principle. And this principle that God has is contrary to what society will say. Because society will say, if you give a little, you will have much. Correct? Common sense, wouldn't it? If you give a little, you will have more. Correct? But what does the scripture say? If you give a little, you will have little. Does it make sense? See, God's economy is not man's economy. God's economy doesn't work on man's principles. It works on his principles. The Bible tells us that giving much will cause much increase, not decrease. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Giving much will cause much, not less. Now that has to be a divine biblical principle. That has to be God just doing something there, multiplying what we have sown. Because unless God does that, when you give much, you won't have much. Correct? But when you give according to God's ways, he says when you give much, you will have much. The more thanksgiving you give, the more it will be increased back to you. The more that we are thankful, the more that we are of a composure of giving thanks to God for everything he's done in our lives, the more will be increased back to us. Because that's the word of God, correct? As much as we give, so much we will have more and more and more to give even more. It doesn't decrease, it increases. Luke 6:38 puts it this way. It says here, give, and it will be given back to you. How? Little? Dribs and drabs? No. He says it will be given pressed down. How many of you, when you try to pack something, you know, you put it in a box or in a jar, say sugar, for example. That's a good example, isn't it? You put sugar in a jar. What do? You just tap it. You want every grain of that sugar to get into all the little spaces and fill it up. That's what it means there. Pressed down, shaken together so we get everything in and running over. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah to that. Come on. That's what God does. He doesn't give you in dribs and drabs. He gives you pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put back into your lap or put back into your bosom. Isn't our God amazing? Does God steal from us? No. He gives us more than enough. He gives us more than we can ask, more than we can think of. That's what God does in our lives. But the principle is you got to learn to give unto God. That's the principle. Holding back is not going to cut it. And then I'm hoping you're getting that today. You know, I just believe that we are blessed as a family. You know why? Because we've been giving from everything that we have. We have been giving and giving and giving. And have we ever decreased? No, we haven't. And that's the principle. You got to catch the principle. So, you know, the only way that God works in our lives is when we apply God's principles in our lives. And one of that I learned earlier on is that I don't hold back from God. I give. I say, God, this is for you. This is for your glory. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes. Because I know that the more I give to you, the more you will bring back to me. The more supply I will have. Hallelujah. That's the principle. That's how it works. I'll tell you this morning, here's a challenge. If you are living in the place of always you're in want, always you need, there is a need, always there isn't enough, let me challenge you. Why don't you come and serve in the house of God? Give up some of your time. That's a challenge. Give up some of your time and say, right, I've tried everything else, but nothing seems to work. I'm going to come and say, God, I'm going to give my time. I'm going to forget something, whatever else I do. I'm going to give up my time, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to serve you, Lord, in your house. And I'll tell you something. God will multiply back to you what you sow into his kingdom. Amen? God will multiply back to you. And I'm talking out of experience. That's what I have experienced in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto Jesus. Let's be lavish with our giving of thanks unto God whilst blessing others. Why? Because so much will be put back into you. Hallelujah. Have you got that? You got to give how much? Much. And what will you get back? Much. Here's the second one. Cheerful givers are the ones God prizes or loves. God says, if you read some of the versions, you say, God loves a cheerful or hilarious giver, a cheerful giver. And the word cheerful there describes a spirit of enjoyment of giving. So you enjoy giving without any restraint. That's what it means, cheerfulness. So you're giving without anything restraining you. You're giving so joyfully that it is just spontaneous. When your thanksgiving to God is spontaneous, when it is joyful, when it is overflowing, and when it is hilarious, God values that. He loves it. And you know what comes out of that? Of that giving hilariously unto God? Look at verse 8. I love verse 8. God is able. Say able. Now, able is a powerful word. It comes from the background of the word. It's a dynamis word. It's a doing word. It's a word of power. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more. Hallelujah. Wow. What more do we need? What more do we need? The principles in God's word are true. But it comes only when we put into practice what is here in the word of God. And so tithing, again, is such an important principle in the word of God. If we are not tithing to the house of God, you will be in poverty. It's not me saying that. Read Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 onwards. That's what it says. We cannot rob God and expect God to bless us. That's the truth. And sometimes the truth is hard to take, isn't it? It's a bit hard to take. But unless we know the truth can never set us free. It's the truth of God's word that will set us free. And so let's become a people who are cheerful. Who are cheerful in our giving. Who are willing to give joyfully to others. How amazing is that? Imagine every one of us giving joyfully to the needs of people and saying, here you are. You know, I have this. I just want to bless you. I just want to give. I just want to be a blessing to you. And it says, God is super able. That's what it means, able. Super strong, super able, and super mighty to bless you and give you everything you need. Let it be thanks. Let thanksgiving be spontaneous. Let thanksgiving be joyful. Let it be overwhelmingly hilarious. Because God loves, He loves that. He loves that. He loves that. We are blessed to be a blessing. You can write that down. We are blessed not to keep. The Bible never talks about that. The Bible talks about give. 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 We are blessed to be a blessing. I have some of that water. Where's the water? Please, thank you. Here's the third one. Your cheerful, hilarious giving blesses others and puts a smile on their face. Hallelujah. Glad to see people put a smile on people's face. When you give them, they're in need, you bless them. You can see a smile come on their face. And that's the greatest joy. You know, to see a child, when you give a child something and see them light, their face light up. Isn't that amazing? Just satisfies you, doesn't it? That's what hilarious giving does. When you give out of a heart of thanksgiving with the right motive and you have an attitude of generosity, it will be contagious. And those saints who receive your gift of thanksgiving will in turn give thanks to God for that. See, giving becomes contagious. You will always know somebody who is a giver. You know, they'll always have a smile on their face. You know, they're never holding anything back. They're always willing. And they always have a positive composure and a positive attitude. Because that's contagious. And if you work around or be around generous givers, it's contagious. You will want to. You'll know, wow, they're giving. You know, what am I doing? I want to give as well because God has blessed me. And the Bible tells us that two things happen. Those in need are helped and they overflow with thanks to God. They are helped, the need are helped, and they overflow with thanks. Because those you help will be glad not only because of your generous gifts to them and to others, but they will praise God for His proof, for this proof that your deeds are as good as your doctrine. In other words, what you are saying is what you are doing. Church, we are blessed to be a blessing. It's that simple. Your thanksgiving, our thanksgiving, is an act of righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. Without the sense of guilt or conscious or sin consciousness. Is to be able to stand in the presence of God, made holy and made righteous. That's the righteousness of Jesus, just as if I've never sinned. It's an act of righteousness. Your act of thanksgiving proves God. Hallelujah. Our act of thanksgiving proves that God is God. It proves that God is real. He is real. Because there ain't no point in saying I'm a Christian but not giving and blessing. It doesn't work. When we call ourselves Christians, God has blessed us. That very thing that God has put in us should compel us to give and to bless. So what are some of the aspects of thanksgiving? What are some of the aspects of thanksgiving? What does it do to us? What does it do in the context of thanksgiving? One thing, it brings self-satisfaction. When you have a heart of thanksgiving, it brings contentment when you are a giver, when you are someone who blesses people, and it brings fulfillment. Isn't that good to live in that space of blessing, of satisfaction, of contentment, of fulfillment? Wow. Ah, Lord, I just want to be in that space where I'm always satisfied, always content, always fulfilled. And the key to that is, God, make me a man who is always thankful, a man who is always giving, a man who never holds back, but who gives hilariously and joyfully to you. So what are the aspects? Firstly, God the Father is the object of our thanksgiving. He's the one we thank. God the Son is the person through whom thanksgiving flows. Thanksgiving flows through whom? Through Jesus. It flows through Him. And God the Holy Spirit is the source of thanksgiving, who enables us to thank Jesus, through Jesus to thank God, who enables us. God the Holy Spirit enables us to give thanks. So you see the Trinity being involved in the process of thanksgiving. Can you see that? God is the object of thanksgiving. His Son is through whom we give thanks. And the Spirit of God is the source that we have that enables us to give thanks even when we are feeling down. We can say, God, I thank you for who you are. Here, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. This is what he says, Paul, amazing man of God. This is what he says. He had everything going for him. But he says this. He says first. He says first, Romans 1:18. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the first thing he does. He thanks his God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever, say whatever. Did you say whatever? Whatever you do in word or deed, do it for the pastor. This is what he says? No. Do it all. In whose name? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not about me. It's about God. When we come, when we serve, please don't come to please me or to show that you are here. It won't cut it. When you come to serve, you come to serve because in everything you do, in word or deed, you want to do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Because He is well able to take care of you. He is well able to superabundantly provide for you. Let's be a people who are always thankful, who are always putting God first in everything we do. Here's the second thing that thanksgiving does. Thanksgiving replaces sin in our lives. Really? Really? Yeah, have a look at this. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is commanding believers, commanding believers to stop sinning and in its place put thanksgiving. Look at this, Ephesians 4, 5 and verse 4 says this, dirty stories, foul talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, remind each other of God's goodness and be thankful, or let there be thanksgiving. It says, remind each other of God's goodness. Of God's goodness. And let there be thanksgiving. So we can either act with sinful hearts and be thankless, or we can act with thankful hearts and be pleasing to God. What's the choice? It's a choice that we make. We can focus on Brexit and get down, thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? Or we can focus on the God who is able to fix it. Amen? God is able to fix the break. And trust Him to bring the best outcome in our nation. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah to that. Because often we focus on everything and on the politicians who are saying all sorts of things. And we fail to forget, we fail to remember that we have a God who overarches everything. Everything happens according to His will and plan and purpose. Everything is subject to Him. Hallelujah. So we can go to the Father and we can change things in the Spirit. Amen. How amazing is that? Thanksgiving replaces sin in our lives. Here's the third thing. We should be thankful for God's creation. Hallelujah. We should be thankful that the sun is shining this morning. That the sun didn't suddenly decide to, not shine. Imagine a world without the sun. Be thankful that, we have good weather this morning. Whenever I pray before, on a Saturday night, Lord, please give us good weather on Sunday. Why? Because I want people, when we come in the morning at 8:30, I don't want people to get wet and soaked, though that happens at times. But say, Lord, I just want you to give us even a window of opportunity there. Just give us some dry weather that we can get things in. When I look out of the window on a Sunday morning, I see it's not snowing, it's not raining. I say, thank you, Jesus. Today our people can come, they won't get wet. Hallelujah. There are little things that we can be thankful for. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 4 to 5. It says this in the New Revised Standard Version. For everything, say everything, created by God is good. Everything created by God, not by man. You know why the world's suffering today? Because of man's creation, not God's creation. Man has used God's creation and turned it upside down and genetically modified things. And today we are seeing the outcome of those things that have been modified, that have not been followed according to the laws of God. And that's why we are in a mess in our society today. It's not because God messed it up, it's because man has messed it up. God says, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving. If you receive what God has provided for you and not reject it with thanksgiving, God is obliged to bless you. It says in verse 5, for it is sanctified. In other words, it's made holy. It's set apart, it's made holy by God's word and by prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everything, creation is made holy. It's sanctified by God's word and by prayer. When we are thankful to God for all the good things He has done, we will appreciate and be thankful for everything we have that He has created for us. We will be thankful. Here's the fourth thing that happens. Giving thanks for the work of salvation through Christ Jesus. We can give thanks for our salvation through Christ Jesus. Just imagine if Jesus didn't come, if Jesus didn't die on the cross for us, if Jesus didn't shed his blood for us, if Jesus didn't crush the power of sin and death over our lives. Imagine the plight we will be in today. But thank God for Jesus, who was willing to lay down his life, who was willing in while we were yet in sin. He was willing to come and die. He had no guarantee that mankind will turn to him, but he still was willing to lay down his life as a sacrifice for the remission of our sin, for us to be reconciled back to God and to have eternal life through him. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus has done. So we can be thankful for Jesus, for his salvation through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, Paul says this: I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. I give thanks for what? For the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. We have been saved by grace, not of ourselves, not of works. We can't do penance. We can't give. You know, even if you want to give me, you know, loads of money, I can't give you salvation. No man can give you salvation. Only Jesus. Why? Because only Jesus paid the price by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. That is why only he is able to take care of the sin in our lives. Amen? You can say amen to that. Hallelujah. Jesus in 1 Peter 2:9 says this, 1 Peter 2:9, it says, for you and I, tap your neighbor, he's talking about you. He says, for you are a chosen generation. Wow. Chosen generation. Not only that, it says there, for you are a royal priesthood. Not only that, you are a chosen people. Hallelujah. You are a chosen people. God's special people. For what purpose? That you might show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 12, the scripture tells us that we have been given the right to be called sons of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, we give thanks to God in every situation, in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, 6 verse 16 to 18 says this: always, say always, be joyful. Wow. Always be joyful. Always keep on praying. Here's an opportunity for the next 21 days where you can stay joyful when your body is craving for coffee or craving for that sweet or craving for some meat, you know, or craving for something else. You can stay joyful and say, I will always keep joyful and I will always keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful. Verse 18, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Is that God's will for you? That is God's will for you. Many people ask, what's the will of God for me? Here's the will of God. Very easy. That if you're thankful always, you keep on praying, no matter what happens, you always be thankful. This is God's will. Not to climb Kilimanjaro or go and sit under a tree somewhere and meditate. This is it. God's will for you. Be joyful. Keep praying. In everything, give thanks. Always. That's God's will for you through Christ. I mean, imagine, isn't this an amazing way to live? Isn't it an amazing way to live our lives, giving thanks to God for who he is, for all that he has done? Imagine that kind of life. You know what it came to me? It's stress-free. This kind of life is stress-free. I said, wow, thank you, Lord. Help me to be thankful all the time. Help me to be thankful. The Bible says, for all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 6 that the penalty or the punishment for sin is death. But God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, that comes to us. His gift to us is eternal life. Sin kills us. Jesus gives us life. The message doesn't end there. It says Christ died for us. While we were in sin, Christ died in our place. He rose again. He lives forever. He rose from the dead. He proved that sin had been conquered. Hallelujah. The great news is this, that you and I, we have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we are here every Sunday. That's why we want you to invite somebody, very especially for next Sunday, when Pastor Pat Sparrow is here and he's ministering the Word of God. You know, God speaks to him prophetically. God speaks to him through His Word. I want you to bring someone who doesn't know Jesus. I want them to hear and know that our God is alive and that He speaks. I want them to get a word in season and they go, wow, I don't know this man. How does he know? How does he know? I want them to experience the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And you come next Sunday. Shall we all, let's all stand. Let's be a people who give thanks always. If you haven't underlined that scripture in 1 Thessalonians that I mentioned, underline it. Chapter 5. Underline it. Key scripture. Key scripture. Always be joyful. Always keep on praying. And oh God, I pray this morning that, Lord, your word comes to us in times, in seasons, when we need to hear some of the keys that unlock the door to your blessing into our lives. And God, if there is someone here who is struggling with a key that needs to be put into their lives, into whatever thing that's going on that needs to unlock a key from your word, God, I pray this morning by your grace, Holy Spirit, by your grace, that you will enable the person to unlock the gift of giving, the gift of being thankful, the gift of hilariously thanking you and praising you every day. Let there be a song of praise. Let there be a song of thanksgiving. Let there be a composure of thanksgiving, oh God. When people see them, they will see your joy. They will see your strength. They will see you in people, oh God, you in them. God, I pray that you will help us this morning to unlock the key to release a blessing, a breakthrough in our lives. You are God of the breakthrough. God, whatever is holding back people this morning, I break every curse. Every generational curse that has come down the line, that has been a lie, that has been put into you, that has quenched your spirit, that has snuffed out the excitement that comes through knowing Jesus. Today I break its power, I break its hold over your lives. In the name of Jesus. And today, in the name of Jesus, I declare you have a new bloodline. You have a new beginning. You have a new hope. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you that you release your people right now. You release your people right now. God, I pray you'll help us to prioritize the kingdom of God, because that's what you came for, Jesus. You came for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God to be here on earth. And oh God, I pray that you'll help us put the kingdom of God and your righteousness first in our lives. God, I pray for anyone who is struggling to give up anything, to give up some time to, or whose agenda and whose daily routine has taken over that time that they would spend with you. God, I pray this morning we break the lie of the enemy that if you work more, you get more. That if you keep working and working and working and spending all that time, that somehow everything will come back to you. God, I pray that you'll release people now out of that mindset of being a workaholic to the detriment of spending time in your presence, spending time in the house of God, spending time in kingdom business. God, I break that mindset, that spirit that operates, causing people to fall ill, causing people to go off sick, causing people to come under depressive spirits, causing people to get exhausted. I break that spirit of exhaustion and lie of the enemy over your lives this morning. The scripture says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me into green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Lord, thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as I continue to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see that psalm? Can you see how it starts and how it ends? David says, you lead me because you're my shepherd. In pastures that are green, in waters through waters that are still, you restore me. You lead me in paths of righteousness. If we are running around too busy, how can God lead us? If we are too busy for the things of God, how can God lead us? Sometimes we need to break off of that mindset that I got to do all these things first, then I will focus on God. Look at Psalm 23, meditate on it. When you go home, meditate on it. Read it again and again. And I want you to catch the message that comes out of that, because that's a principle that God has put in his word. You know, church, the reason I'm saying this is because I want us to break free. I want us to break free. I don't want you to go on and on in the same place that you were and that you are. I want you to break free and experience the God of the breakthrough. But sometimes that comes with a price. It does. And all I'm encouraging you to do is count the price, the cost, because it's worth It's worth it. Father, I thank you this morning. God, there's nothing more that I can say or do. But here, Lord, we are your people. You know us. We cannot hide from you. We can hide from man. We can show our face, a smiley face to man. We can pretend to man. But God, you weigh the heart. You weigh our motives. You weigh our attitudes. And oh God, all I ask is, God, that you will help us have the right attitude, a right heart to serve you. God, that's all I ask. Help your people this morning. Help your people this morning. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I hope this word has challenged you this morning. You know, the word always challenges me before it challenges anyone else. And my prayer is that we'll be such a blessed people. Such a blessed people. Released to do what God has called us to do. Amen. We've gone on a bit this morning. But I just felt in my spirit that, you know, we sometimes have to break free. Break free. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's go out with a song of praise.
Decide.